The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Pray. Oh Lord, this is your word, and only by your Spirit can we ever understand it. And so we ask now for your help, for your presence, and that what is said and done here today brings glory and honor to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we just spent 5 days with our 4-year-old grandson. That's the longest stretch that we've ever done. So, how do I look? No, he was good. We have 6 of them, 5 boys and a girl, and when the boys come, they like to play with these lightsabers that we have. We have a red one and a green one. And they like to have sword fights with Grandpa, especially at night when they light up. Anyway, Chase, who was here this week, was here a month or so ago. And then in the meantime, some of the other ones have been there, and we've never been able to find the red sword. We've only had one, and we look high and low and everywhere, and what happened to the red one? Well, when Chase came this week, Grandma asked him, "Hey, would you happen to know where that red sword is?" And right away, he ran into the room where he sleeps, and he had it hidden under his bed. One night, we were watching an animation on the Angel Network called King of Kings. It's really good for children, and it's the life of Jesus, and his life, his ministry, and his death and resurrection, and Chase was just enthralled by it, watching it really intently, and asking questions, and why did he go on the cross, and is he alive again, and really important questions, and Grandma was answering them, and Grandma asked him, "Would you like to pray?" And Chase prayed. You know, he prayed with Grandma. He thanked Jesus for dying on the cross. He asks for forgiveness, and then we're done. And there's silence, and it's one of those meaningful moments, right, that you're really expecting, like, what's the next thing that's going to be said? What's the next thing that's going to happen? And Chase breaks the silence and says, "Hey, by the way, where's that red sword?" I knew then it some way I'd have to get that into a sermon illustration, perhaps a sermon about loving material things or a sermon about the battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. Maybe a sermon about our connection to worldly things and how we can't help it. We're creatures of this world. Children give us lots of stories. And yet, in the life of Jesus, we only have one. One. There are so many things that we would like to know about his childhood. So many questions that we have. What was it like playing with other children in the town of Nazareth where he grew up? What games did they play as young children? What pets did he have? What was his relationship like with his brothers and sisters? Because he had many of them. After he was born, Joseph and Mary had quite a few other children. What was he like in school? What exactly was the perfect child like growing up? And then there was the carpentry shop. Joseph was older. Men did not live long. Jesus was the oldest. And really, for most of his life, he didn't enter the ministry till he was 30. And so there are 30 years, most of it is running a carpentry shop, running a business, working in that shop. Being the oldest, his father has died. He has to support the family, his mothers, his brothers, his sisters. He did that much more, far longer than the 3 years of teaching and preaching, working as a carpenter. One story is all we get from between the time of the manger and the baptism in the Jordan River, between the angels declaring his birth and that first miracle in Cana, turning the water into wine. One story is all that we have, a 12-year-old boy in the temple. Well, let's take a closer look and examine this text and see what's there. It's not something that we'll read too much in the year. This is probably the only time, I think, maybe in the three-year cycle. It's not something we're real familiar with. The little text forms in what people in the literary world will call an inclusio. An inclusio. And that is just a fancy word for brackets. The story is bracketed. It has two very alike verses at the beginning and at the end, with the climax, the point, the main point of the story, usually about dead center. So before you begin, the first bracket, verse 40, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. We get the story, and then we get another bracket at the end. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The theme clearly here is one of growth, one of increase, but not just any growth, not just any increase. It's a very specific kind. It is a growth that exists in the presence of God. It is an increase in favor with God. It is a spiritual growth that is going on here. Growing up in the presence of God with his blessing and in his favor. And the precedent of this has been set in the Old Testament. When we read about children in the Old Testament,
Twice in Genesis, we're told of Isaac. First of all, Isaac, that he grew up. He grew in the blessing and favor of God. And then later on, we're told the same of Ishmael, that he was left there in the desert, but the child grew, and he grew in favor with God. He grew in blessing and in presence of God. The same thing is said of Samson in the book of Judges. The child grew in the knowledge of the Lord. The child grew in favor with God. The same thing again is said twice of the boy Samuel in the book of Samuel. He's shipped off to live in the temple with Eli and his sons. And the writer tells us, but the boy grew. He grew in favor. He grew in the presence. He grew in the knowledge of God. And so there's a precedent set for this as Luke writes about, gives these birth stories. And Luke is very, very fond of using this language. He says it about John the Baptist in chapter 1, verse 80, that John the Baptist was a child who grew in favor with God. And then, of course, he says it twice here in this bracketing of this story. Now, when we turn to the book of Acts, which was, again, written by Luke, this language is everywhere. And it's mainly about the church. The day of Pentecost, Luke says, and added to the church were 3,000 souls. Later on in chapter 2, Luke will mention, and people were added to their number. In chapter 4, he says specifically there was an addition of 5,000 people to the church. In chapter 5, he says more believers were added to, multitudes of men and women. In chapter 6, he says the disciples were increasing in number. In chapter 6, he says, the word of God increased. In chapter 9, he says, and they, the Christians, were walking in the fear of the word and in the comfort of the Spirit, and the church multiplied. In chapter 11, he says, great numbers turned to the Lord. So you see the theme. You see what Luke is important to Luke. When it comes to his writings, that growth in a life, an individual life, growth in the church, not just any growth, but a growth that is in line with the purposes of God. Luke is focused on that. And so we have this bracket, this inclusio, as they call it, of growth and favor in the presence of God. And right smack in the middle, we have the story, about 170 words, and then we have what's called a dramatic nucleus, the point of the story. Now, people will differ on that, but mostly people will say the point of the story, right in the middle, here it comes. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? The very first words spoken by Jesus that we have, 12 years old, first thing he's ever said in the Bible that we know of, here it is. Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Now, this is not about going to church, or about necessarily obeying the law and going to the temple. What this is, as the psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Right? That's what we read in the psalm. About, I would rather be a doorkeeper, the house of the Lord. This is, I think, a metaphorical statement, and it is a purpose statement. It is a statement of purpose. What is the most important thing in the world? What is it? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it riches? Is it even family? because we see here a situation where we have good parents, but Jesus says, this I got to do. I got to be in my Father's house. What is the most important thing in the world? It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's will. It surpasses even the word of his parents. It surpasses even the Old Testament traditions. His parents were good. They obeyed the Passover. That's great. You're supposed to. But now this is a turning point in the story. At the beginning of this 170-word story of his one time in his life, it's Mary and Joseph who are the focus. It's Mary and Joseph who are the subjects of the verb. Okay? It's Mary and Joseph go to Jerusalem. We don't even know anything about Jesus. I mean, yeah, they took him. They always took him, probably. We don't know anything until it says he got lost. They didn't have him. But at the beginning of the story, the focus is on Mary and Joseph, good Mary and Joseph, Passover-keeping Mary and Joseph, good parents Mary and Joseph. They're the main characters. But now here in the middle, it turns. It turns. And we have Jesus and this purpose statement that you must live before the Lord. You must live to please him, for his favor, for his word. It is God alone who will bring increase to our lives. No one else or nothing else will bring fruitfulness, will bring favor. It is this purpose statement by the 12-year-old, I must be in my Father's house. And the subject of the verb changes, and it's not two people going to Jerusalem and Jesus happens to be with them, but it is Jesus now, the subject, and Jesus goes to Nazareth and his parents go with him. It's flipped. It's flipped. I must be in my Father's house. We could do a whole sermon series on these must statements of the Bible. The must statements about salvation. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. I must go to Jerusalem and die, and there I will rise 3 days later. There's a whole group of the must statements of the Bible. I must be about my Father's business. I must be in my Father's house. The purpose of God is what takes center stage. Now, Jesus is perfect. He's perfect. And yet, we get this word from Luke that he's growing, that he's discerning God's purpose. He's growing in wisdom. He's growing in wonder, in obedience. He's growing in his understanding of the scriptures, growing spiritually, growing intellectually. What about you and me as we face this new year? I'm sure you've heard them all and are probably tired even of the cliches, right? They're endless. As we stand on the cusp of a new year, we start out with a clean slate, a blank page, however you want to say it. There's nothing we can do about the past. Someone has said this about time. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't store it up. You can't even stop it. All that you can do is spend it. Spend it. How will we spend our time this coming new year? Will we just count days, or will we make the days count? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.